Verse number one, if you're willing and able, stand with us. We read God's word here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's a passage I really like. The whole book of First and Second Timothy, and I want to help us today. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore, first of all, that's a priority, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Those are four ways and four different veins of our thought about what it means to pray. He says, you do this, and then he gives the who. Verse 2, for kings, all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There is a point to praying. There is a principle to praying. Verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Somebody says, why are you a Free Will Baptist? Why are you not a this or that? Well, one of the reasons I am is because of verse 4. I believe that God desires all men to be saved. I believe God doesn't, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't believe that God created men and then reprobated them with no hope of ever trusting him. I believe it goes against John 3:16. It goes against the idea of the cross. Goes against the idea of his suffering. Goes against the idea that God is loving. Goes against the idea of a just God, just to be honest with you here. How can you be just if you ever, never had an opportunity? I believe that this verse is absolutely true. He wants all men to be saved. We've had 8 or 9 folks in the last 6, 7 weeks who've made that profession of faith. We have resources for them. Some of them are receiving them today as we help them walk with God. Why? Because verse 4, God wants all men to be saved. Can anybody say amen? Verse 5, for there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. As much as I like some of our local politicians and all, and our national politicians, there's not many gods and not many mediators. The Bible is clear, there's one. And one mediator, Christ Jesus, verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified of in due time, verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. He says, I have come to those who did not know Christ, verse 8, I will therefore, and he loops back, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, and without doubting. If I have a message for America these next few weeks here, I think my message started off will be to pray. Be to pray. Would you join with me right now? Our heads are bowed. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. And I pray you'd help us. Lord, I have much less a structured message and much more a burden. And I pray I'd be able to deliver that burden. It's one thing that's gripped me. And I ask you to help us from the front to the back and left to right and side to side. I pray we would hear, understand, and obey. I pray absolutely for life change today. Well, there's some folks whose lives be different. Somebody pray for them. There's so many here absolutely, positively, desperately need to pray and need to be prayed for. So, Father, would you speak to us? May this one idea resonate in our hearts. I'll ask you to help us. I pray, Father, that you'd just help us not think about whatever we got going on this afternoon. Troubles at work tomorrow. I pray for a few moments we'd focus on the Word of God and focus on what you're saying to us. Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. Let me preach your word with power and authority, and I pray we would respond. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. And amen. You can be seated. Well, several Christmases ago now, and one of our children was desperate for the latest thing. Those of you without children or don't have any grandchildren or don't have any children at home or grandchildren, the latest thing was an Xbox One. It's not enough to have an Xbox 360. Then you have an Xbox One, and there's another one out now, and there's just no chance of it coming to our home. And so the latest and greatest thing, I'm a pragmatist. If you have something, you don't need something else. Nod your head if you're with me here. And so we had we'd saved up for and bought as a family, but we wanted B, and one of our children just was desperate for it. And I looked at him very plainly and said, no. How many of you would think that's a great word to say? No, 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 can't do that. And then I slipped up and said, accidentally, if you want it, you'll have to ask your grandparents for it. How many of you think I just made a huge blunder when I did that? Amen. Huge blunder. Your Christmas is already bought. You don't need one of these. If you want it, you're going to have to ask your grandparents. Well, all of a sudden, the lobbying campaign began. And grandparent, we've got Andre and his mom and dad are still living. My mom's still living, and began to tease and hint and annoy and write accidental letters to, boy, how much better my life would be if I had an Xbox One, till I began to get phone calls. Rodney, honey, if that's what he needs, he doesn't need it. Well, how much is it? And here's my second mistake. I should have told my in-laws and my mom, it's $1,000. I could have made some money off this thing, but I didn't do that. And in hindsight, I should have told them I didn't do that. And I said, well, it's whatever it was. It's on sale and all. Just get it. No, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. He has a nice Christmas. He has socks and underwear. It's a fine Christmas for a young man. And I got one of these things. This is just a newer version. And so the in-laws say, well, we want to help, and my mom, and we want to help. And then they started dealing directly with the boy. And we're going to get you one, baby. We're going to get you one. And I'm thinking, I am not a bad parent. He doesn't need another game machine. Is there anybody here agreeing with me right now? He doesn't need another one. And anyway, we're not doing this. And so what I didn't know was it was happening. It was happening. It was going to happen. It was going to happen. And so here's this, and then from the in-laws, and here's this, and go get it. So we get done traveling, and I got this money, and I have been outflanked as a parent. Anybody ever been outflanked by as a parent? I said no, and the grandparents went right around me, amen? Went right around me, and so I got the money, and so we're going to the store to get it, and we've got this, and then they say, we're back in Tennessee now. And they say it's whatever, you know, it's what's the state tax, or the 52%. And they say it's this much money. And I had a thought. I looked at the boy and I said, we only have this much, you don't have the tax. So I reckon we'll just go home till you can save it up. And I spun on my heel and I heard the cashier going, She was getting ready to, and again, I messed up again. I think she was about to pay for it herself. And so I said, no, I'll get it for you. And Riley went through a lot of emotions at that moment. Anyway, he thought we were walking out. And so we got the thing we didn't need, and we went home, and then we had to go back because we needed more stuff. Nod your head if you just love that about stores and all. And we got assembled, and it works just like the other one does. Anyway, and we got all this stuff and did all this, and the grandparents are happy, and I'm mad as a parent because, anyway, and there it is. You say, preacher, are you speaking about the family today? I'm absolutely not speaking about the family. I'm speaking about when you need something, you need to go to the person who can help you. You need to go to the person who wants to help you. You need to go to the person who has the means to help you. You need to go to the person who is interested and insistent about helping you. In short, if I had something to say to America today, I'd speak to the believers, and I'd tell them to pray. I'd tell them to pray. I want to offer you a few ideas this morning from the passage. I want to give you some real help today. I want to remind you here that you need to pray. The Bible says you need to pray for those who need prayer. You need to pray for those who need prayer. Let me pause just a moment here. I want you to think about something. Think about all the problem people in your life. Anybody have any problem people in your life? How many of you need another hand or a foot or something like that? Anybody have any problem relationships in your life? A few of you. How many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what I say? Okay, nod at me. How many of you got any problem situations in your life? A few of those? You got anybody you're like, they walk too close to the side of the road, I'm liable to lose a mirror. You got anybody like that in your life? You know, that's kind of an old joke, I suppose. Bible says to pray for those people. Pray for the people. Pray for those who need prayer. Prove it to me, preacher. Fine. Look back in your Bibles. Let me offer this to you. The Bible says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Go down to verse 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We need to pray for those who need prayer. Your Bibles are open there. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 18. Chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says there, the Bible says that this is the charge that I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou mightest what? Fight a good warfare. You might fight a good warfare. He says, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for these people. It's part of what I have called and commanded you to do. I want you to pray for these people who need prayer. I want to pause for a second. I want to pause. I really want to get ahead of myself, get to the next point, but anyway, we've got time. Look right here. I don't think America's problem is a military problem. I don't think it's a financial problem, although I cannot fathom trillions of dollars in debt. I don't think it's a leadership problem in the sense that we got plenty of leadership. We got good leadership, bad leadership. We got tweeting leadership, non-tweeting leadership. We got leadership. I don't think our problem is the press. We got more press and more bloggers than you can shake a stick at. We got press. We got information. How many of you are just stunned at how much information, how it changes, and how fast it comes, and you just wish it'd slow down? I long for the day when you would read the paper to find out the news instead of now the paper, everything in it's old because everything is so new. I think America needs people who will look at others and say, I need to pray for them. I look at this situation, I need to pray for this situation. I need to take this to Almighty God. I need to pray for those people who need and pray for those situations who need prayer. Here's our deal. We gripe about things. Look right here for a minute. All you online, we troll people and we use ugly language we wouldn't say out loud. We spend our lives mocking people, gossiping about people. We do all kinds of things, but we do not pray. Let me help you one more time. We say we're going to pray, right? But we don't pray. I have a dear brother. Pastor's fairly good-sized church. He had people walk by him and say, I'll pray for you, pray for you. He got back to his office. He had no clue who he talked to. He has a deacon. Stands beside him with a legal pad. Somebody comes by and says, pray for my sister, pray for my brother. I got this test, whatever, this week. He says, I'd be glad to. Please give the details to this guy here. For years and years, I used to tell people, you know, just write on a piece of paper and give it to me. Most of you now just text me or whatever when you're in the service and all. It works real well. I don't want to be guilty of saying I will pray and I don't pray. He says to pray. America talks about God, but we don't pray. Everybody understand the politician God? Politician gets in front of a bunch of people and he goes, you know, and bless this and bless that and bless the other. And he lives like a heathen. He doesn't do what he's supposed to and all these kind of things. I'm not talking about praying that way. I'm not talking about praying because I'm in a jam. I'm not praying because I can't pay the bill. I'm talking about talking to the one who cares about my needs and can do something about my needs and is interested in meeting our needs and my needs. We need to pray. By the way, we are commanded here to pray. To pray for those who need prayer. Pray for those who need prayer. I have acquaintances who cannot stand our current commander-in-chief. I have more acquaintances who cannot stand our former commander-in-chief. And one of them said one time, you know, we spent some time and we prayed for our president, and everybody just kind of jumped on this guy. What do you mean? He's awfully sorry. And again, whatever the month is, whatever the year is and all. He said, man, we are commanded to pray for them. And they just wrote him off here. That kind of Christianity is not Bible Christian. Nod your head over there. I didn't say you liked everything going on. I'm not remotely saying that. Man, I got to pray for them. Pray for them. He gives a couple of reasons why. Why we should pray for people who need prayer. He said the first one is because you're in a battle. He says you're in a battle. Anybody ever felt like that, by the way? Living for God feels like a battle. How many of you feel like making the Monday to Friday sometimes is a battle? Amen. Anybody, you get up and you look at the enemy in the mirror? And you go, it's going to be a bad day. How many of you getting ready to pillow your head at night? And you go, I didn't really read my Bible today. I didn't really talk to Jesus today. How many of you get through the week or whatever? How many of you, you know, we get going and then all of a sudden, man, we're not faithful. We're not doing the things we're doing. Man, we're flat out in a battle. Some of you, look right here. Some of you are the only saved people in your family. You're the only connected to Christ people in your family. You're the only ones who've stepped out and made decisions. Some of you, the only ones been publicly baptized. You're the only ones who take it seriously. You realize you're in a battle. Paul told Timothy, hey, man, you're in a battle. You're in a battle. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, thou mightest war a good warfare. See, that's not, praying's not warfare. I beg to differ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Look right here. That passage is in the armor passage. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. I believe one of the only offensive weapons listed there is the weapon of all prayer. See, I got things too big for me. I ask you to pray about them. Pray to God about them. Not just the words in the air, not just a clasp hand, not just a bunch of emojis that you send out and put up. Those, again, I am against emojis, but I'm not picking emojis here. I'm talking about actually talking to God about them. Our child said, I think this is a good idea. I'm going to find somebody and do something about it, and I'm going to talk to them until I get an answer. By the way, the answer could have been no. And that would have been a perfectly fine answer. Say, I have all this on me. May I offer you something? Pray. 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 Talk to God. Talk to God. Say, I'm in a mess. Pray. Say, I'm in a battle. I'm in a battle. Absolutely, positively pray. You still with me? Say amen. You need to pray for people who need prayer. You need to pray because you're in a battle. Number two, you need to pray because they're in a battle. They're in a battle. Anybody know anybody used to live for God and don't live for God anymore? A few of you. Anybody know anybody says they love God, but they don't act like they like God, much less love God? Anybody else know anybody like that? I told the story. It's almost 2 years ago now. I look back. What's my time? Real quick. When I'm here at church, I'm straightening. If I can get in the office, I'm okay. But if not, I'm straightening chairs. I'm knocking down cobwebs. I'm doing like you would do if you were here. But I need to do something else. I need to study. I need to do some other things. So every now and then, I take all my stuff. I'm used to doing that. I take it and I go to a Dunkin' Donuts, which is bad, you know, because there's donuts there. And then I go to Starbucks. And Starbucks sells stuff too, but it's too expensive. I won't buy it. And I'll just drink a cup of coffee, get free refills. And I was sitting there, had all my stuff spread out, computer and working. Guy sits down beside me. Some of you remember this. His hair is so new, it's running in streaks down his neck. The color is fresh. Nod your head if you understand it. He is ready for Freddie, and he's nervous. He sits down, looks at me, and says, "You come here often?" Now I don't know what his game is. Nod your head if you're with me here. I'm not. I said I come here enough. I said. He said, "What do you get?" I said, "I just get the coffee." He said, "I got something," and he said it was $4. I said, "I'm sure it'll be fine." What you doing? I'm just finished up some work. I'm going to leave in a little bit. What are you doing? I was hoping if I got him talking, he'd leave me alone. Everybody nod your head if you're with me here. He said, my guess now is he's in his late 60s. He said, I'm meeting a woman on a blind date. I said, you are? I said, how did that happen? He said, we met online. He said, you know you can take that computer and you can find women online? I said, you can. Yeah. And you can look at them before you meet them. At this point, I wish I'd never asked the man what he was doing there. He said, you can look at them. He said, you can kind of weed out the ones that aren't real pretty. And, you know, or if they say they have a nice personality, that's a... And they called his name. He came back. I thought he was done chit-chatting. He said, man, you got a lot of stuff there. He said, what do you do for a living? I thought about telling him I colored hair. I looked at him, I said, I'm a pastor at church around the corner. Brother! Now look, he's talked about women poorly. He's pretty excited about meeting his new lady. And all of a sudden, he goes from a freshly coiffed rascal to brother. What is wonderful, I didn't over here and all this kind of stuff. Would you pray for me? And I'm thinking lightning's going to strike him and going to hit me too, amen. And just like that, he turned on a dime as soon as he found out I was a reverend. Nah. People are in a battle. People are in a battle. Some of them don't know they're losing the battle. Look right here. Guy that's enslaved to his desires doesn't know he's losing a battle. Guy who can't get through a day without a drink or without a puff doesn't know he's losing a battle. Guy who's about to fritter away on gambling, his family's income and well-being, doesn't always know he's in a battle. Young girls don't know that they're in a battle and that they're giving away something to young men. And young men don't know that they're doing these things and they're doing all this stuff. And I'll be very careful here. And they don't always understand that they're in this battle or losing the battle. I'm convinced people in marriage sometimes don't understand. This is not the way it's supposed to be. God talks about this as a wonderful blessing to you. And some people, man, it is pitched battle all day long. You need to pray for people because they're in a battle. The forces of hell are against their soul. How many of you think everybody ought to be faithful to God and His Word and ought to be in church? You do the numbers here. You do the numbers. Between my house and here is about 50,000 people. There's not enough room in all the churches for all those people. They're not here. We're not reaching them. They're in a battle. People pillow their head and wonder how they're going to provide for their family. They pillow their head and wonder what happens if they die. People pillow their head and wonder, are they the right kind of mom or dad to their family? They are absolutely positively in a battle. We can look down our nose at them, that's fine. We can cluck our head and say, well, I'm glad I'm better than they are, and that's fine. God said to pray for them. Pray for all of them. Why? Why did He pray for all of them? Because they need the Lord. They need the Lord. If your coworker found the Lord, if the Lord found him, how much different would they be? If you were a son or daughter, mom or dad, your grandma, grandpa, excuse me, if your neighbor, if your coworker, if your ex, if they found the Lord, how much different would their life be? People need the Lord. Look at the passage. Don't take my word for it. Go back, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved? Who will have all men to be saved? Verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all? People need the Lord. One of the reasons we're going to go to Carm is because people need the Lord. One of the reasons we're having the rally in the valley is because people need the Lord. One of the reasons we take time on Wednesday night and we take a big chunk of the service and we stop and we pray is because people need the Lord. By the way, if everybody's healthy and everybody's physically well and they don't have Jesus, they still die and they go to a Christless hell. It'd be better for them to have physical needs and to have their righteousness found in Him and their sins forgiven, excuse me, than live to be 104 and die and go to a devil's jail and devil's peril. God says to us that people need the Lord. I'm not being mean. I'm not. who are you praying for that needs the Lord? You can call it whatever you want. I have a friend who calls it his sweetheart list. If you don't have one, I want to ask you to start one. Who are you praying for that needs the Lord? I got to see several students of ours from days gone by. Many of them are serving the Lord, doing so well. At our youth conference we went to, there was a group from California. California came to North Carolina for youth conference. How many of you think that's pretty nifty? And I saw the guy and I recognized him. His name's Steve, and I was trying to put it all together, and I asked the other brother, I said, that's the guy. He said, that's the guy that led me to the Lord. He's going to college there in Southern California, big plans, medical field. He said, this guy wouldn't get off my back. He invited me to church, told me I was a sinner. I hated him. He said he kept on. He said, I finally attended church with him. He said, he led me to Christ. He said, I was the only one in my family. They were sort of kind of Catholics. He says, the only one in my family. He said, he didn't just get me to the cross. He said, he discipled me. He said, for that next year, he talked to me and showed me how to read the Bible and showed me how to pray. He said, I had family who said, man, it's unbelievable. And he said, and they were ugly to me. He said, one thing led to another. He said, my dad got saved. My mom got saved. My uncle got saved. My sister got saved. He said, of course, his dad's a lay preacher now. He said, it's all because this guy, wait for it, prayed for me. There's somebody God's put in your life that God wants you to pray for and see them through until they come to the cross. He says, pray. People need the Lord. Pray. Because all men need all of God's help. Count with me, if you would. Go back to our passage. Verse 1, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. You go back to chapter 1, you'll see the same pattern. All men need all of God's help. You say, preacher, but you know, if I really prayed that way, I'd pray all the time. I hear you. I believe you. I don't know many folks that are there. And you may pray 6, 8, 10 hours a day. If you are, I'm not talking to you. Most of us pray like we wipe off our glasses. It's just a moment or two, and then we move on to something else. We pray when we're jammed up. We pray when somebody we love's in a hospital. And those are all great reasons, by the way, to pray. But if I start in the back with Greg and Christy, they need all of God's help. And if I pop over here, start going through all the Johns in the building, they need all of God's help. And if I go from Rusty to Roy, come up here to Lucas, cut all the way across over here to Sam and Samantha, they need all of God's help. If I go to the back to our young people, many come without their parents. They need all of God's help. If I go to our young people, many have made a decision for Christ in the last 6 weeks. They need all of God's help. See, when I pray because God's got all in mind. Because God can handle all that you're facing. and because all people need the Lord, and because you're in a battle and I'm in a battle. And the more you want to live right, the more you need people to absolutely, positively talk to the one who can handle it, who can take care of it, to the one who has done this. Look at verse 8, I'm done. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I'm not opposed to physically holding up hands. That is not the point here. The Psalms talk about lifting up hands. It's not the passage. He's talking symbolically. He's using something we understand. If you're going to eat your meal, many of you grew up going, go wash your hands. Many of you, it's second nature to you. Everybody works in food service. You wash your hands all the time. Clean hands. Clean. This is my point of contact. My point of contact to God ought to be, I'm clean, Lord. I'm clean. I'm coming to you today, nothing to keep you from listening to me. Nothing to keep you from hearing what I'm asking. He rattles off the four kinds there. The first one, and that's where I'll stop. He says this prayer, deesis is the Greek word. It literally means an urgent entreaty. I pray because you desperately, desperately, desperately need something. And there's passion in my heart. And I come to you clean as I know how to be, Lord. See, why would you say prayer? That was the first thing if you talked to America. Because there's a lot of folks who say they know Jesus who need to have some clean hands. And they need to bow their head and bow their knee if they're able. They need to sit in the chair by the window. And they need to start going. Co-worker, grandchild, neighbor, boss, this person, that person. God, I want to talk to you about them because you're really interested in them. And you have the means to handle what they need. And you're interested in listening to me. Pray for the people who need to be prayed for. Pray. Say, would that change America? Wow. It changed you. It's changing you. It's changing me. And it'll change the world. Pray, first of all. Pray with me right now.